Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
Hi, everyone. I'm Phil Vacchio.
Hi, Phil.
Hello.
Phil and I are two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm, and we're here every single weekend. Well, just about every single weekend. When we're not having babies and so on.
Yeah, some people do that, right? it's my first week back in the office. I took a little time. The baby was born a few weeks ago, and everyone's awesome, great. New baby in the house brings so much happiness to everybody. The kids are excited. Family's excited.
Of course, and all the sleep you can get.
Yeah. That's the hardest part. The sleep deprivation is a real thing.
Well, you look great. Johnny looks great, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Phil always looks great.
Thanks, John. You're so nice.
Phil's got it going on. How many kids do you have right now, Phil, besides the newborn?
There's three total.
Could have more later on.
Could we have more later on?
No. Okay, all right.
It's official.
Again, you're used to the sleepless nights and you know, what you need to do with a newborn baby.
Yeah, we've done this dance before, but you know, once you're outnumbered, it is a little different. Brings a different element to the game.
I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
Once you're outnumbered.
But, you know, most of it's on the wife. Shout out to my wife, Jen, for doing
all
of that. You know,
Jen, you're doing great. Thank you.
She is.
Right.
Phil's just going to stay here a couple days in the studio, though.
Yeah, going to sleep on the couch. Is that right, John?
Going to hide out? Yeah, sure.
Good.
Okay with me.
Well, so we're here just not talking about Phil having a baby. We're talking about estate planning and elder law. It's a call-in show. You can reach us at 518-476-5900. If you want to call us in the office, it's 518-465-7581. And you could meet us in Clifton Park, Saratoga Springs, Albany, or down in Kingston, or kind of everywhere in between. A couple topics I wanted to get to right away. We were talking about it before we got on. So Tony Bennett. Two and a half weeks ago, he passed.
Yeah. Looking into things, huh?
Well, the articles are starting. Where does it all go? And the articles are just more like clickbait where there's no real answers to it.
Right.
But it does get into his family tree a little bit. He had four kids. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I did not.
And he had several marriages. Probably could have assumed that. Actually, his current spouse, the spouse who survived him.
Yeah.
Is 40 years his junior.
Yeah, she is much younger. But I understand she had a big part in helping taking care of him.
And oh, for sure.
Throughout his later years. And
Nothing to say about age differences or anything. However, apparently, her mother, when she was pregnant with her, has a photo with Tony Bennett.
That's Hollywood, though, right?
That's Hollywood.
Wow.
Yeah, right? So they estimate his estate's worth about $200 million.
Okay.
Not bad for Tony Bennett.
Yep.
And what I didn't realize, which apparently you, John, did, is that he made money painting. He's a painter.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Oh, so that wasn't just a hobby. He sold his
paintings. Like $80,000, $60,000. And I haven't seen him, and I have to think. A lot of that's because it was Tony Bennett who did it. It's not because it was a painting that was so beautiful that it's worth that amount. It's probably the
figures
Bad, then I guess he couldn't be putting them out in public like that. But he had, art gallery, what do they call those, showings and things like that.
Exhibitions.
Something like that.
And so not only was he an amazing singer and by all accounts a really great human being, he also was smart with his money, and he kept earning. He kept obviously performing.
Up to the end. Yeah.
And he also had, other areas of income, such as paintings. And from our standpoint, without knowing who's going to get what, and it sounds like likely plans were set, and plans are secret, trusts, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
There are different kinds of assets, Phil, that people have. And sometimes it's just your house, and where's your house going to go? But sometimes it's your collection of paintings because you have a collection of paintings.
And it gets more complicated when you're in a lot of different areas or ventures like that. He had his music business, and obviously there's going to be royalties from that with these paintings. If they still existed, are they going to get sold? How are they going to get sold? Who's going to get them? And sometimes, depending on the plan that the person puts in place, it can be very specific.
Yep.
I have clients, I'm sure you do too, that it's very important to them that some of those personal items, and I'll put paintings in that group of type of assets, personal items, they want to specify where they go. You know, other times, I would say generally for the majority of the public, it's just my personal items, whatever they may be, get split, you know, equally amongst my children or whatever the case is. But sometimes it's very important to specify that, especially when it's a very valuable item like a artwork from Tony Bennett.
It's funny you say that, because I was actually going to go the other way, Phil, and say sometimes the value doesn't even matter. So, you know, if it's split it up. So you mentioned, and it's a common paragraph. We have it in all our wills, yeah, right? So, John, we have this paragraph that says your tangible personal property, your stuff.
Yes.
Quote, unquote, stuff.
Yeah, stuff you have.
Right?
Stuff,
it goes to your children and they'll split evenly, that kind of thing. Well, if everyone wants the lamp,
everyone wants that painting,
the value sometimes won't matter because, well, it's a $500 painting. What do you mean? Well, I want it though, right? I don't. Yeah. If you're going to get it, you're not getting only credit for a $500 asset. That I want that painting. So sometimes people are fighting over the actual object.
Sure.
I had an estate a long time ago. Actually, ended up in a litigation, and it may not be over. So I'll probably shut my mouth about it because I'm not handling the litigation. I was the attorney that did the drafting.
Yeah.
And let's just put it this way, guys. At the end of a signing, usually we scribble some notes as to who was in the room and who were the witnesses and what was talked about, or were there any changes, that kind of thing, right? Just in case. This one was a signing where I did a voice memo that turned into a written legal memorandum, because I had the document that we kicked, you know, certain people out of the room just so it's us and the client. Because we knew, we felt there was going to be a litigation.
Yeah, you see some red flags, so you want to pad the file and have all the information there.
And that estate plan part of it, I won't get into the litigation part, but the part that I will is the guy would make these little mosaic pieces of art, like tiles. Hmm. And he owned a shop that had nothing to do with that, but that was his hobby. And all throughout his workplace, he had these, over decades, he would create these little mosaic tile pieces of art on the wall.
Sure.
And the kids wanted a raffle and a draft as to who gets to pick which one first. And it was like a snake style, meaning that if you were seventh, you get to pick seventh and eighth, and then it wraps around to one. And
those are difficult to, I've done some like that. Oh, they're difficult to draft to make sure there's no ambiguities, right?
Because
so personal property could be valuable, it could be priceless, I guess.
Well, value is subjective in the eye of the beholder, right? So it could be a sympathetic value, an intrinsic value, not necessarily a monetary value, depending how you look at it.
And back to Tony Bennett, now that he's gone, you know the value of those paintings through the roof.
I'm sure they'll skyrocket now.
Well, there's not going to be any more, and that's what immediately increases the value.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't want to get into this area, but I happened to just be in Lake George and talk about value.
Yeah.
Properties on lakes, whether it's Sacandaga or Lake George or Lake Placid, these properties have skyrocketed, but it's really hard to value because they're all different. Some are really old, some are not. Some are more land, some are less land, and there's so little inventory.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I had a call with a client, Phil, which I know you've had this kind of call before. So it was Son, and Son was just poking around about, you know, Mom's estate, which Mom's still with us, and he's just kind of setting things up because he wanted to make sure and walk through with me how exactly do things work one day when Mom passes. Do we get an appraisal? Do I get an appraisal and she gets an appraisal? Because she, you know, my sister is going to want to get top dollar for it, but I'm supposed, you know, I want to buy her out. And that valuation becomes a really difficult thing when it's a more and more unique asset. So whether it's a painting by Tony Bennett or a lakefront house in a certain part of Lake George, let's say.
Sure.
What is the fair market value for that thing?
And particularly if you have if it's a family property and one of them wants to keep that property and buy the other siblings or the other beneficiaries out of the property, what's the value then? You know, they may say, well, I did so much work on it all my life, and I should get it for a lesser amount. But if the document, whether it's a will or a trust, doesn't specify that the particular child gets some kind of discount, they're really not entitled to that.
No.
Yeah. And it's funny that you brought that up, because I had a few meetings this week. The idea of second properties or third properties and family properties. And up here, so Dave, you're from Long Island, like I am.
Yeah.
You've been here longer.
Which mall are you near?
Well, where are you from? Roosevelt Field, but yeah, I haven't been there a very long time.
Okay.
That was the Mecca back in the day. Yeah. Everyone used to congregate there, right?
That was a great mall.
It was nice. But so where I was going, though, is if you've been there longer than I am, this concept of camps.
Yeah.
Of a camp. So the first time it was brought up to me when I was here with the client, and we have a camp, on a protected camp, and I was like, what is it? What is a camp?
Yeah,
so
you're
thinking.
To me, a camp
is like a little square of land that I put my tent on, or...
Or you're thinking a camp where kids go.
Yeah, I send my kids to get out of the house for the summer. I'm like,
I see what you mean. Yeah.
So what are you talking about?
Camp is more of a, it's not a full year. You're not going to the camp in February. That's usually it's, you're still owning the land, but it may not be a four season house, let's say.
Sure. So I learned that over time because it comes up quite often, particularly around here in the capital region. A lot of our clients have these camps, and
a lot of times people do.
Yeah, they're ones that either they inherited from their parents or aunts or uncles, and they want to keep it in the family. Do you get that situation when they come to you and they say, well, we want this to stay in the family and we don't want our kids to sell it, right?
Yeah.
What do you do there? Because that's an interesting fact pattern to me.
Well, so we've had a lot of these, as you could imagine, between the properties in the Catskills or in the Adirondacks or the different beautiful lakes around
us.
And the issue is, well, we're, you know, Phil, you and I are brothers, and our families are using the property, and that's okay, great. And there's not a lot to fight over necessarily. Mom and Dad are still with us, and we all just up there, and we're up there when we're up there. When they start passing, maybe you're not up there as much as I am, and you live elsewhere, and I'm using it more. Well, do we split the expenses? How do we split the expenses? Or, gee, your family's growing. Apparently, you keep having children here, Phil. And there's only so many bedrooms in this camp or this property. So I guess I'll take July 4th every year, and you take the weekend after every year. What do you say?
Right, I want July 4th. Yeah.
So there's a lot of that stuff, and you could get as detailed as you want. There are a lot of properties up there that I've been involved in litigations where there's actually these governing documents that say a first spouse. So it's going to be all blood that owns this piece of property. Your first spouse, if she survives you or he survives you, can continue to use the property for a period of time. But upon her death, it goes to your children. It's got to stay in the blood.
Sure.
However, if it's a second spouse that survives you, those life use rights do not extend to that second spouse. And there's all sorts of rules you could put on it. We're going to talk about, well, you know, John, we got a minute before the break. So
you want to take the break, and we got a phone call going on here?
Yeah, Nick, hang on a second, okay? We're going to get back to you, and then we're going to talk about these lake properties in a moment. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back. Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And my name is Phil Vacchio.
In the first half of the show, Phil and I were talking about all sorts of things, from Tony Bennett to his artwork to having more children and so on and so forth.
Yes.
We decided we're not.
For me, at least.
Okay. That sounds good.
Your life is your own.
Yeah.
We do have a caller. His name is Nick. He lives in Colony. Good morning, Nick from Colony. How are you?
Good morning. I have a power of attorney on a trust for my uncle, and he would like to get out of his assisted living and meeting with someone next week to see about upgrading his home to accommodate him if it's possible, or maybe moving him into like a Beltrones or something like that. And the trust contains a brokerage account, an annuity, and a bank account. And my concern is, if I have to make some movement of the monies that are in these accounts in order to accommodate what needs to be done, does it start the clock again? On because he had a some kind of a trust to begin with. Then it later on it went to a Medicare trust, and it's been in. It'll be almost a year, September now, that's been in force. And I just once I hear what I have to do, what should I do in order to get money out of there if I have to, in order to upgrade everything?
So first, you got to come in and see us, because this is going to be way more technical and a lot more moving parts. But second, you're going to listen to Phil, because Phil's going to give you a little summary right now.
Yeah. So Nick, trusts, there's many different kinds of trusts, and trusts can be written in many different ways. So a question like that is difficult to answer generally, to give a general or a broad response, because the document would have to be reviewed, and it depends on what it says. You know, you mentioned a few different things about it being for Medicaid purposes, so that leads me to believe that it's an irrevocable form of trust, Medicaid trust, but I don't know that.
Hey, Nick, did we do the trust?
Yes.
Okay, so it's one of our trusts.
Okay, okay. So it's one of our trusts, so it gives me a little more information. Still, I would want to review it first to see what the terms were, but often with a Medicaid type of trust, when you put it in there, because you also referenced this look back, right? And for the other audience, what I assume you're referring to, Nick, is protecting the asset for the future. It's your uncle, you said?
Yes.
Yeah. So if your uncle needs a higher level of long-term care, so right now he's in assisted living, maybe independent living, but if he gets worse, his condition gets worse, he may go to a skilled nursing home one day that carries a five-year look back, which means that any assets you were looking to protect with this trust would need to be in that trust for at least 5 years before he needs that level of care. Now, if you want to get assets out of that trust, you have to do it in a very particular way, and it depends on what the use is, because generally speaking, in that kind of trust, again, assuming it's the trust I think it is, the assets in the trust are not supposed to be available for the use of the trust creator, right? But there are some backdoor techniques we could use that we could get into more of the specifics if we sat down. But it's good that you're asking this question and just not doing it yourself, because I have plenty of clients that just take action and potentially void the protection that the trust was set up to create. So to answer your question, Nick, please give our office a call.
And to add to what Phil's saying, I got some questions for you. You can't just ask us questions. We're allowed to ask you questions here. So you mentioned taking him home or out of the assisted living. Is there a home in the trust?
Yes, and that's where one of your people are going to come and help me. The bathroom's going to need to have a rip out where you put it, where you don't have to step over the tub. So you're looking at $10,000-$20,000 to do that.
So let me stop you right there for a second, Nick. So this is really, really important. And what Phil said was right on. And here is one of the ways where money in a trust can be used. So one of the assets in the trust is a house.
Yeah.
Okay. Another asset in the trust is money. And if you're going to use money in the trust to improve the value of the house in the trust, we are actually not removing anything from the trust. So normally we don't want, and it says in the trust that your uncle is responsible for all the carrying costs, taxes, etc. of the property, right? That's his responsibility. And you are not to use the trust money to pay the taxes for the house. Technically, money would be removed from the trust the way that Phil was outlining, and then uncle uses his own money to pay the taxes, right? It's a little step transaction. But when you are, let's say he was going to buy a condo in Florida right now, and that was the conversation we were going to have. We could exchange a pile of money for a pile of money that looks like a condo in Fort Lauderdale or something like that. So if what you're doing is going to be capital improvements on the property, you should be able to just write checks to make that happen. However, if now it's a slippery slope and now the taxes are due, we're going to start using the trust to pay that, you may actually invalidate the trust because he is supposed to be responsible for those kinds of expenses. So to echo what Phil said, coming into the office will allow us to give you specific instructions on what to do and all the moving parts. Now, if the house turns out to not be right, I assume Kim's going to be checking out the house at some point,
yes,
giving you recommendations. If it turns out it's just not a great fit or we can't get enough care, it may be another facility or a senior apartment or something where you still could get home care, quote-unquote home care, even though it's not a home. So a lot of moving parts, but you did the most important thing, which is let us know about it. Next thing is come on in because it's going to be so detail-specific.
Right. And
so after I get the word and the plan put together, then come in. And if the house has to be sold, that can just be the money's transferred into the bank account to do whatever we have to do afterwards. Is that okay? Is that okay, how it would work?
Sure. I mean, in terms of the timing, I'm not sure obviously someone coming to say it's doable. I think it's going to go beyond the physical dimensions of the house and whether or not his care needs are going to be able to be satisfied.
Okay.
There's enough hours and enough people that are going to be able to take care of him. But once you decide that, I think the big decision, Phil, is you're going to sell a house, you're going to keep it. Because if Uncle keeps living elsewhere, we still have the carrying costs of the house that no one's living in.
Right. Yes. All right. Well, then we'll see what the word is, and I will make the appointment and come in and get everything squared away. Thank you very much for answering that. I was a little concerned, and I didn't know which way to go. But I'm going to always touch bases with you guys to make sure that we do the right thing. Thanks again. Have a great day.
Thanks for calling,
Nick.
And Nick made a great point, Dave, and what I tell all my clients, if you're going to think about doing something that affects anything that our firm did for you, please just call us first, right? Just don't just do it because if you're not sure, call first. It may be a five-minute conversation with me, you, Jay Marie, right? And we could tell you, hey, that's great. You could do that way. Don't worry about it. Or please don't do that because you're going to invalidate what we tried to do to protect your assets.
What's that expression, guys? It's easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. You know that expression?
It doesn't apply here.
Does not apply here.
Absolutely does not apply.
You just call. And one of the things, we have 7 minutes here, guys, that I actually came in wanting to talk about was when should you come in because things might need to change. Your documents may need to change. A fact pattern has changed. And the reason why I brought it up is because one of the appointments I had, we have these little descriptions for why people are coming in before we walk in the door, existing client. And it was, he wants to check his documents, yada, 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 yada. Oh, by the way, his wife's having brain surgery this week.
Right.
So a couple days ago. And met, and thankfully the documents are all where they need to be. And the right agents are the right agents. And there are no changes to the documents. But gee whiz, I mean, Could we figure this out before the week of the brain surgery?
Yeah, please don't wait, guys. Please don't wait till the week before, especially with a major life event. And the question of when, to me, is always now, right? Even I had a good example. I had a client recently. I'm starting to see more and more of this. They have a daughter, 18 or 19, going away to college. And people don't think about your child is an adult at 18, and that's not your... It's still your child, but they're a grown-up. They're an adult, and they can make their own decisions, and you can't make decisions for them anymore. And so I've seen some people wanting to get a power of attorney healthcare proxy in place, assuming the son or daughter will agree.
Yeah.
But so that while they're away at college, the parents can still help out, and if something happens to them, they can make medical decisions if they can't. And that's a great idea, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're no longer a legal guardian. You're just... someone who really, 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 really knows the kid well.
You just hope they'll listen to you, but they don't have to listen to you. Yeah, it's different.
That's true. Well, moments where you really need to look and come in and just say, hey, am I good here? I don't know, having an additional child be born and be part of your family. Sounds like a good time to look at your documents.
Yep.
Do you specify the names of your kids in the documents, or do you do what we normally do, which is use the word issue, which means your bloodline, essentially.
It's always an awkward question a little bit. Well, I prevented it. I'm going to ask you an awkward question right now. Do you plan on having more kids? Is there a 1% possibility of you having more children? Because if you are,
asking me right now?
Is this this is me now.
Because Isabel already texted me just one more earlier.
It's probably more a question for Isabel. But but if the answer to me is they look at each other sometimes and they say, well, it's not out of the realm of possibility, then I say, well, let's leave it as an open class. Let's say your children, so you don't have to come back to me in a year or two to change your will and pay me more money just because you had another child. And we can do that. We can make these wills or trusts as future-proof as possible. Obviously, you can't account for everything.
John, you know, I think we're good at what we do, but we're extremely lazy as well. And we want to set, if you're doing a will, we want your will to be able to last 4 decades. And so we have provisions in your will, for example, that say if your 30-year-old kid happens to be in a nursing home by the time you pass. It's like, we're talking about decades down the road.
Yeah.
But it's just language. Doesn't matter.
Right.
Right. We have provisions for grandkids, even though you're leaving everything to your children.
Mm-hmm.
Because who knows what's going to happen. We don't want some bad news to happen and then you have to come in to change your documents. There are some things that are I guess foreseeable, even if they're not likely.
So you're trying to look ahead, way far ahead if necessary.
Yeah. And all that being said, if there is a death in the family, if your executor moves or your power of attorney moves and they have a new address, we should know that. I'm not going to have you come and sign a new power of attorney and pay any more money in that instance. Maybe when there's a couple more substantive changes, we'll take that time to change things. But usually deaths and marriages, divorces, mm-hmm. new children in the fact pattern.
Right.
Bad doctor's diagnosis. Diagnosis is?
What you mean.
Maybe. Yeah.
Diagnosis.
I think it's just diagnosis.
Diagnosis.
I think so, yeah.
You think the plural of diagnosis is
diagnosis.
That's probably right.
Maybe. It may be.
Darn it.
But what do I know?
Good thing we're not on a radio.
I defer to you, John.
But everybody knows what we mean.
But, you know, when some of these things take a while, the community Medicaid that Nick is talking about, right, possibly getting care at home for his uncle, that's going to take months to put into place.
Sure,
so he's doing the right thing. He's getting his wheels in motion.
Going to get together.
It's not one of those, well, we're thinking of getting home care next week. Yeah, that's great. You could keep thinking about it for the next 3 months.
Yeah, my dad's coming home from rehab tomorrow, and we have nothing set. Well, okay.
So stuff like that, and I think I could speak for myself, Jay Marie, and you, Phil, at our firm, right? If you don't have an hourly matter, if it's not a litigation or an estate administration action, just call whenever, right? Yeah. I don't charge for phone calls. I don't charge for follow-up appointments. I don't charge for any of that stuff. Unless it's an hourly matter, which I don't really have a lot of. But the point is, and the reason for it, Phil, is we want people to call. We want us to be their first point of contact when bad things or really good things are happening. It's just that, you know, really good things don't usually happen. It's usually the other one. We have documents that prepare for it, but you could always just pick up the phone and call. So, like, Nick is doing right. He's going to come into the office. By the way, that appointment's not going to cost him anything. And we're just going to talk and kind of game plan how to best use the thing his uncle did.
Exactly. Yeah. So I use the age-old Adam plan for the worst, hope for the best. Everyone says that, but it's so true in our profession. And I tell my clients all the time. And you're talking about a lot of morbid stuff. And I like to make jokes during my meetings to bring some levity to the conversation. But it's important stuff.
Have a good weekend, guys.
Good weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.